Hey, welcome to the Bartender's Perspective. I'm so happy to have you here. Work is done for the day. Pull up a chair, have a seat. I'll pour you a drink, and let's get started. So in tonight's podcast, I want to focus on a concept, I think, that a lot of believers, and maybe some who are no longer believers, or who are on the fence, have missed, or to be frank, has discouraged them from believing altogether. And that concept is trusting in God. My perspective tonight, I mean, most of us already know God's motives, but there is another message that is hidden within his spiritual guidance. So let's explore what I'm calling the prodigal path of destruction. So most of us know the story of the prodigal son. We've seen many TV movies, episodes about variations and different storylines of the prodigal son. But I want to go through it one more time so I can establish a firm context on tonight's episode. So the scripture can be found in Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 24. I'm going to be doing this from the Amplified Translation as it gives the most detail to what I'm presenting. So the prodigal son. Then he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them inappropriately said to his father, Father, give me the share of the property that falls to me. So he divided the estate between them. And a few days later, the younger son gathered together everything that he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he wasted his fortune in reckless and immoral living. Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to do without and be in need. So he went and forced himself onto one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. He would have gladly eaten the carapaz that the pigs were eating, but they could not satisfy his hunger. And no one was going to give him anything to him. But when he finally came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough food while I am dying here of hunger? I'll get up and go to my father, and I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son, so please just treat me like one of your hired men. So he got up and came to his father. But while he was a still long way off, his father saw him and was moved with compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quickly, bring out the best robe for the guest of honor and put it on him. You know, and give him a ring for his hand and sandals for his feet. Bring the fattened calf and slaughter it. And let us invite everyone and feast and celebrate. For the son of mine was as good as dead, is alive again. He was lost and has been found. So they began to celebrate. So we know that ultimately, despite our choices, God will always forgive us and want us to come back to him. But I want to point this out to you. The son was allowed to go and be free to do what he wanted unchecked with no direction. He went and parted it out with immoral living, which you can interpret that immoral living amongst yourselves. But if he had stayed and continued working the farm, my perspective is he would have continued to have a good life and eventually happiness and financial wealth as a result of the guidance of his father. His father didn't want him to leave, because as a wise father generally knows, he wants to do what's best for his children and protect them, and in some cases, protect them from themselves. In the Road We All Take podcast series that I finished, I mentioned a scripture in part 3, which while I was writing that episode, I discovered a perspective that I had not thought of before, and you know, that's how we ended up on this podcast episode. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Jeremiah 29, chapter 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, They have not plans for your destruction, but for your good. And that's plans to give you a future and a hope. Psalm chapter 37, verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires and petitions of your heart. So something that stuck out with me in these scriptures is so many people think that they have to do what God tells them if they want a good life. That is not the case at all. Look at it from the Father's perspective. While suffering is unfortunately a part of our world, looking at it from his point of view, if I may be so bold, the scripture tells me he is pleading with his children, you know, to listen because he loves us so much and that he does not want to see us suffer. In Exodus, the Israelites, they endured 400 years and several generations of brutal subjugation and slavery. You know, find themselves after the plagues of Egypt, after the parting of the Red Sea, at the base of Mount Sinai, where God revealed himself to Moses, ultimately chiseled the Ten Commandments to establish moral guiding principles to guide them on their journey. It was written that his people got tired of waiting and made a golden calf to worship. There was a lot of celebrating, sacrifices, burnt offerings, and some, you know, bloodshed with a plague to follow. There's a lot more to this context in the scripture, but my perspective here is that God's people went unchecked in the works of their flesh. As an imperfect human being myself, I can understand that after being in prison for so long, they would want to have some fun, kick back, and celebrate their freedom. But what we can take from this is the result of what happened, what can happen when we turn away from God and embrace our carnal desires of the flesh without him, devoid of a perfect love. I looked into some famous people throughout history, you know, that needed God's direction in their lives, and what came as a direct result of him stepping in. So Charles Colson served as a special counsel to President Richard Nixon from 1969 to 1973. He was deeply involved in the Watergate scandal, which eventually led to Nixon's resignation in 1974. Colson pleaded guilty to obstruction of justice in connection with the Watergate affair and served 7 months in prison. And during his time in prison, Colson underwent a spiritual transformation. He became a born-again Christian and dedicated his life to Christian ministry. In 1976, he founded the Prison Fellowship, a nonprofit organization focused on prison outreach and the rehabilitation of prisoners. Colson's experience in prison shaped his perspective on justice and inspired his commitment to addressing issues with the criminal justice system. In addition to prison fellowship, Colson was involved in various initiatives related to social justice, ethics, and faith. He went on to author numerous books, including his autobiography, Born Again, which detailed his journey from political power to spiritual renewal. Chuck Colson passed away in 2012, but he left behind a legacy of faith and redemption and a significant impact on prison ministry and social justice efforts. Augustine of Hippo, I liked this one. Born in 354 AD in North Africa, led a life marked by indulgence before his conversion to Christianity. In his early years, Augustine pursued a hedonistic lifestyle, engaging in various pleasures and intellectual pursuits. He excelled in education, studying rhetoric and philosophy, and was drawn to the Manichaean religion for a time. Big word. His journey toward Christianity began with his mother Monica, a devout Christian who prayed fervently for his conversion. Augustine's intellectual pursuits led him to Neoplatonism. I still struggle with that word too. A philosophy that influenced his understanding of spiritual reality. The turning point occurred during a period of deep introspection. In 386 AD, Augustine had a life-changing experience in a garden in Milan. Struggling with internal conflicts, he heard a child's voice saying, "Take up and read." He opened the Bible to a passage in the book of Romans, which spoke directly to his inner turmoil. This moment ignited Augustine's spiritual transformation. Over the next few years, he delved into Christian teaching, engaged in theological study, and he was baptized by Ambrose, the Bishop of Milan, in 387 AD. Augustine's Confessions, an autobiographical work, reflects his journey from a life of worldly indulgence to embracing Christianity. After his conversion, Augustine returned to North Africa, where he lived a monastic life and later became a bishop of Hippo. He played a crucial role in shaping Christian theology, addressing issues like original sin, free will, and the concept of time. Augustine's writings, including City of God and Confessions, remain influential in Christian philosophy and theology. His transformation illustrates the power of spiritual reflection and the profound impact of personal conviction on one's life path. This one's cool. John Newton, he was a slave trader in the 18th century, involved in the transatlantic slave trade. In 1748, his ship encountered a severe storm that threatened its destruction. In the midst of his near-death experience, Newton cried out to God for mercy. The experience impacted on him, made him begin to reassess his life and actions. After surviving the storm, Newton eventually left the slave trade and became involved in the abolitionist movement. Over time, he underwent a spiritual transformation, embracing Christianity and becoming a minister. He later penned the hymn, Amazing Grace, reflecting on his own redemption and the life-changing power of divine grace. Newton's story serves as a powerful example of personal change and the possibility of redemption, inspiring others to reflect on their own beliefs and actions. One of the apostles, Paul, originally known as Saul of Tarsus, underwent a transformative experience on the road to Damascus. Prior to this event, Saul was a zealous Pharisee and the persecutor of early Christians. His mission was to suppress the burgeoning Christian movement. However, during his journey to Damascus, he encountered a blinding light and heard the voice of Jesus Christ, asking why he was persecuting him. This encounter left Saul temporarily blinded, and he was led into Damascus, where he spent 3 days in darkness. During this time, Ananias, a disciple of Jesus, received a vision instructing him to go to Saul. Ananias, initially reluctant due to Saul's notorious reputation, eventually obeyed and laid hands on him, restoring his sight. It was in that moment Saul received the Holy Spirit, and he was baptized, signifying his conversion. Following this experience, Saul's life underwent a radical shift. He changed his name to Paul and became one of the most influential figures in the early Christian church. Paul traveled extensively, spreading the teachings of Jesus Christ and writing numerous letters, epistles, that form a significant part of the New Testament. His transformation from a persecutor to a devoted follower underscores the profound impact of his encounter with Christ on the road to Damascus. So when navigating life without seeking guidance from a higher power, individuals may experience a lack of spiritual fulfillment, feelings of isolation and challenges in finding purpose or meaning. Decision-making may be solely based on personal perspectives, potentially leading to unintended consequences or a sense of emptiness. The absence of a moral compass rooted in religious teachings might contribute to the ethical dilemmas and a struggle to cope with adversity without a source of divine support. But all right, you know, we got to talk about one of my regulars. One of the last things I'm going to talk about tonight. He's somewhat of an expert, if you will, on walking with God a lot closer than most. So I had a regular that used to come through the bar for the longest time. It was a real pleasure every time he came in. He was a deeply connected man of God, who if he wanted to talk directly to God, he was your guy. He was kind enough to share his story and let me tell some of it to you, because I felt it related to what we are talking about tonight. His life was not always the best before I met him. His journey was an extraordinary one at that. As a child, his parents divorced, and most of his young life, he always felt empty and knew something was missing in it. As he got older, he got into the bar business and got involved in alcohol and drugs. He would eventually have a series of traumas that would bring him to a breaking point. He was strung out on cocaine, you know, and even called his parents to have him committed, but got no answer when he called for help. He would eventually meet a friend who had been saved and brought him to salvation. But that wasn't the end of his story. He would later be plagued by other evil forces in his life that looked to destroy him and nearly ran his car off the road at 100 miles per hour when the Lord showed up to stop him. It was after that that his friend in real estate was given the message to stop what he was doing and go and help my regular, as he was still thinking about suicide. He had no clue where he lived, but the Lord directed him to his apartment complex that was 900 units big. The Lord directed, like a GPS, moving him directions till he ended up at his door. Mind you, he had no clue where he lived. The Lord directed him to where he was. My regular stayed with him for a few days where he would pick up his prayer language, which is a subject for another time. So the takeaway from this that I want to point out is that my regular was living his life without God and not doing so well. You know, he was searching for something because something was lacking in his life. He had no direction and was plagued by negative thoughts and other things. Here's a gleaming example of what happens when God shows up in your life to direct you. He has since gone on to live a very successful life. He is happily married and living in Florida now. I miss him something terrible. I do stay in touch with him. I talked to him today before I wrote this podcast episode, as a matter of fact. God bless you, man. So in conclusion, exploring the significance of trusting in God versus navigating life independently, I hope you will give some consideration to this concept. We've delved into the impact that faith can have on our perspectives, choices, and overall well-being. Trusting in God can and will give you a source of strength during life's inevitable challenges. It's imperative to recognize that the choice between trusting in God and going one's own way, it's deeply personal. Nevertheless, understanding the benefits of a spiritual foundation gives a compelling argument for why many choose to anchor their lives in faith. Through the lens of trusting in God, you often find comfort in times of uncertainty. You know, and you get an endless source of hope. This trust is a stabilizing force, giving us the sheer will, comfort, and perseverance in the face of adversity, knowing, you know, that we're not alone, that we have that support. Additionally, the moral framework provided by religious beliefs can shape one's, you know, character, which can influence your decision that contributes to your own personal growth. However, it also carries the weight of responsibility for navigating life's challenges if you choose not to receive divine guidance and support. Ultimately, the choice between trusting in God and forging one's own path, it's entirely your decision. It involves, in a way, taking a moral inventory and an understanding of one's core beliefs. Whether rooted in faith or driven by self-reliance, the journey of life is different for everybody. So if you like my podcast, please feel free to tell at least 3 people about my podcast if you think they'll get something out of it. This will help me continue to get my message out there to more people. If you want to support the show and help continue to grow, please feel free to go to my website, leave me a tip in the digital tip jar. And unless you want another drink, thank you for stopping in. Here's your check. My regular podcast hours are, as always, every Sunday night at 7 p.m. So you can come back and you can see me then. Have a great night.